Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. In this section and in the following broadcasts, we will be concentrating on our study to Abraham. Even though we are in Quran chapter 15, but we will be going back and forth to cover everything, that is, everything Allah mentioned in the Quran about Abraham. Now, you have to understand that Muslims believe in Prophet Abraham, and they believe actually in the books of Abraham as he received revelation from Allah, as we'll see in our last verse for our study about Abraham. But on the other hand, Muslims do not know anything about Abraham or the life of Abraham, as you will see in our study concerning the commentaries in the Quran about Abraham. Also, you will notice in our study that there is connection between Abraham and Lot, even though Muslim scholars do not know who is Lot, how Lot is related to Abraham. The name Abraham is mentioned in the Quran 63 times. And when we read and study everything that is mentioned in the entirety of the Quran, we still have many questions unanswered. As a matter of fact, once again, as we did in the story of Joseph and Moses and Noah, we see the same problem here in the teaching of Allah in the Quran about Abraham. You cannot, and I say again, you cannot understand anything hardly about Abraham or his life by investigating everything that is mentioned in the Quran. That's why often you will see me going back to the Bible to show you the errors of the Quran. Notice that the errors of the Quran are not just about the differences between the Quran and the Bible, but it's also about the contradictions in the Quran, as Muhammad repeated the same story in other portions of the Quran. We have talked about Abraham in the past, but in this portion of our study of commentaries on the Quran, we will be covering all aspects of the life of Abraham and Lot throughout the pages of the Quran. So without further ado, let me begin by that which is written in Quran chapter 15, beginning from verse 51, where Allah stated and informed them about Abraham's guest. That is Allah speaking to Muhammad to tell the Arabs about Abraham's guest. Now, the word guest in the Arabic language is daif. It is written in the singular form, not duyuf, which is plural. As may you know, that in the Arabic language, not only we have singular and plural, but we have also what we call dual. So daif is singular, daifan is dual, and duyuf is plural. One guest, two guests, and three or more guests. Obviously, when I went to the Quran to read the interpretation of Muslim scholars, somehow they fixed the grammar to fit with the Quran. So they said the word daif could also be used as the word duyuf, which itself is simply fabrication. But who will argue? Who will debate Muslim scholars who believe that the Quran is perfect word of Allah in the Arabic language? But if you investigate the word daif, you find it is singular for a visitor. But the following verse, as we're going to be reading, you see that they, not one, but more than two, three or more. And obviously, from the reading of the Quran, you would not figure out how many of these guests of Abraham. So, nor who these guests were. Let's move on to verse 52. When they entered into him, they said, peace. So now you see there are more than two, three or four or 10 or 20. As a matter of fact, Muslim scholars could not come up with an accurate number of how many guests came to Abraham. But that is what they said. They just said, peace. Now, if we read the Bible, we will not say that all that which is written in these passages. It is simply made up. And the proof, once again, is not only the Quran does not match the Bible, but the Quran contradicts the Quran in other locations when Allah repeats the same story, as I'll be sharing with you in details later. Here is what Abraham said in the same verse, in verse 52. He said, "Surely we are afraid of you." Excuse me, what? Is that what Abraham really said? He's afraid of these visitors? If I take you right now to the other locations of the Quran or in the Genesis account, do we hear Abraham saying the same thing? That the first sentence came out of Abraham's lips when the visitor said to him, "Peace," he said, "I'm afraid of you." Not only me, but all of us here are afraid of you. Of course, that is not true according to the Quran or the Bible, as we will see a little bit later. They said in verse 53, "Do not be afraid." Wow, it makes sense. He said, "I'm afraid of you." And the answer is, "Do not be afraid." But obviously, since the first half of the conversation is wrong, the second half still does not make it right. "Do not be afraid. We give you the good news of a boy full of knowledge." Is this what happened in the Bible? So the visitor said, "Peace." And Abraham said, "We are afraid." And then they said, "Do not be afraid. We're here to give you some good news of a knowledgeable boy." What a shortcut for the story. It's not even summarizing that which is written in the Bible. It is really cutting off much of that which is written in the Bible. That's why you cannot understand the Quran by just simply reading the Quran. Listen to what Abraham said in verse 54. He said, "Do you give me the good news when the old age has touched me?" What a question. Is that what we read in the Bible? Or do we have more information than that in the Bible? Where is Ishmael in that story? I know Muslims believe in Ishmael and Prophet Ishmael, the son of Prophet Abraham. But in reality, where is the story of the birth of Ishmael in the Quran? Who is the mother of Ishmael in the Quran? Where is Hagar's story as it is written in the Bible when we read the Quran? There is no mention. As a matter of fact, if you read the Quran carefully, you'll see that there is no name for Abraham's wife. I can say in simple word, Abraham was married to Sarah and he had from her two sons, one by the name Ishmael and one by the name Isaac. Or I can say Abraham was married to a woman by the name Hagar and he had two sons from her, one by the name Ishmael and one by the name Isaac. Or I can say Abraham was married to somebody else who had two sons with, or whatever scenario you could make up. Why do I say that? It's simply because the Quran does not mention to us any of the details about the birth of Ishmael and the birth of Isaac and how that took place in the life of Abraham. But going back to the Quran in verse 54, Abraham rejected the idea to have a son. Why? Because he is an old man. The old age has touched him. Continuing in the same verse, "So by what good news do you bring?" He's mocking the guests. Remember now, it is not just one person speaking to Abraham, but all the guests, which we do not know how many, 3 or 10 or 20. They all speak to Abraham and they all told him, "You're going to have a son." And he said, "I'm an old man. And what is that good news you're bringing to me?" Is that what we read in the Bible? With all the visitors of Abraham spoke to Abraham about the son which his wife will have, specifically Sarah. Here's the response of these guests of Abraham. "We gave you the good news with the truth. So do not be of the despairers." Wow. It is true, Abraham. Don't be a despairer. Believe what we're telling you. And listen to what Abraham said. Another fabricated sentence, because we don't read any of that in the Bible. That is when Abraham said, "And who despairs of the mercy of his Lord except those who have gone astray?" Well, you have to understand, when you say gone astray in Islam, that is the word dal, and every dal will burn in hell. So Abraham, as a prophet, will not burn in hell because he never was astray from the way of Allah, and he knows that he will not be of those who despair of the mercy of Allah. And here was the end of the conversation about Abraham and his son to come, the full knowledgeable son. Because as we go in verse 57 and down, we'll be talking about the change of the conversation. It is no longer about Abraham and his son, but it's about Lot and his people. And we will get to that in a later broadcast.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicki@thestraightway.org. That's Vicki spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Now, let me share with you the same story in the Quran. That is in Quran chapter 51, beginning from verse 24. For there we read quite a different information than that which we have read in Quran chapter 15. For here we read, "Has the saying of the honored guest of Abraham come to you?" Notice here it is a question. Remember, when we read the same story in Quran chapter 15 and verse 51, Allah said, "And inform them about Abraham's guest." Allah was there talking to Muhammad to inform the Arab about Abraham's guest. But here Allah is asking Muhammad the question, "Has the saying of the honored guest of Abraham came to you?" How many times do you think that story came to Muhammad? It has to be one time. Why Allah forgetting himself and telling Muhammad a question instead of a statement about the same story? Was Allah just repeating himself all over the Quran to add more pages to the story of Abraham? Let us continue in verse 25. "When they entered unto him, so they said peace, he said peace, unknown people." Notice that is also different than that which we have read in Quran chapter 15 and verse 52. For there we read, "When they entered unto him, so they said peace, he said surely we are afraid of you." Did Abraham say, "Surely we're afraid of you," after he heard the greetings of the guest? Or did Abraham say, "Peace, unknown people"? Continue in verse 26 of Quran 51. "So he went to his family, so he brought a fatted calf." Wait a minute. When Muhammad received the same story before in Quran chapter 15, there was no food. There was not a skinny or a fat calf. But here we read more information. Maybe someone will say, "Well, the reason Allah did not mention that earlier because of blah, 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 blah." No, it is Muhammad repeating the story in the Quran and he forgot what he fabricated earlier. In verse 27, "So he," that is Abraham, "placed it," that is the calf, "near them." These are the guests. He said, "Will you not eat?" So he began to be afraid of them. Where does the fear come from? Is it because he's seen these stranger guests, as we read in Quran chapter 15, or because he chose not to eat, as we read here in chapter 51? And according to the biblical account, did they eat or not? That's another question we'll investigate when we go back to the Genesis account. Continuing in verse 28, "They said, do not fear. And they gave him the good news of a young, knowledgeable boy." Notice here, it is almost the same information which we read in Quran chapter 15. But once again, that does not match the Bible, as we'll see in Genesis account, because in the Bible, it was not the three visitors, but the Lord alone who gave Abraham the good news about his son, Isaac. In verse 29, we read, so his woman, that is Abraham's woman, what was her name? No name whatsoever. There is no mention of any name of any woman in the Quran except the name Mary, the mother of Isa, whom Muslims claim to be Jesus. What did his woman do? We read, so his woman came in shouting and she struck her face. Wow. She slapped her face. Yes, exactly. That's what the Quran said. Why she did that? Because she heard the news that she will have a knowledgeable boy. And she said, old barren. Is that what Sarah said in the Bible? She just shouted the two words, old barren, after she slapped her own face? We'll see about that in Genesis account. They said, these are the guests. Likewise, your Lord said, surely he is the wise, the knowing. Is this what the guest of Abraham's angels said in the Bible? We'll see about that. Then beginning from verse 31, we'll read about the continuation of the story of Abraham concerning Lot. Now I want to read to you the same story once again in the Quran, that is in Quran chapter 11, beginning from verse 69. And indeed, our messengers came to Abraham. Now Allah is not talking about guests, but he's talking about messengers. That is the word Rusul. Like Muhammad is a messenger, so the messengers came to Abraham. And once again, we do not know how many or who they were. But here is the rest of the story. They came to Abraham with good news. They said, peace. He said, peace. So he did not delay, but brought a haniz, that is a foreign word, which means roasted calf. So when he saw that their hands did not reach out to it, meaning they did not eat from the meat, he disliked them and grew fearful of them. Now we know why really Abraham was afraid, because once again, as I mentioned earlier, because his guests did not eat from the calf, which is the opposite of that which is written in the Genesis account, because there, as we'll see in our next broadcast, they ate from the meal. They said, do not fear, surely we are sent to the people of Lot, as we will be talking about Lot in depth in our next broadcast. And in verse 71, and his woman, once again, that is the wife of Abraham, was standing by, so she laughed. So we gave her the good news of Isaac, and after Isaac, Jacob. Notice here, the wife of Abraham did not strike her face. She did not cry or slap her face, as we read in Quran chapter 51, but she actually laughed. And what's so amazing is she laughed before she heard the news about that she will have a baby. Remember, in Quran chapter 51, she shouts, she slapped her face because she's an old woman and she heard that she will have a baby. But here she laughed, and the laughter was before the story was told. That is, as we continue to read, so we gave her the good news of Isaac, and after Isaac, Jacob. So the reason she laughed was, Muslim scholars give different fabrication, not interpretation, but simply fabrication. But the reaction of the woman of Abraham is the opposite. She laughed, and she laughed before she knew that she will be having a baby. Notice here, the good news was not that she will have one boy, but she will actually have two, that is Isaac and Jacob. As we read in verse 72, she said, oh, woe is to me, will I bear a son when I am old and when my husband is old? Surely this is a wonderful thing. And the messengers said to her, do you wonder at the command of Allah? The mercy of Allah and his blessing are on you, the people of the house. Surely he is praised Glorious. Did you realize what we have here today in our broadcast? It is the story of Abraham and his guests, repeated in the Quran in three different locations. Quran chapter 15, Quran chapter 51, and Quran chapter 11. And when we read all these passages, we could not understand hardly any details about who are the guests or the messengers who came to Abraham. How many there were? What was the real conversation? Did he say peace back to them, or he just got scared of them the moment he saw them? Did he offer them meal to eat, or did he not? Did they eat from the meal, or they did not? What was the conversation about Abraham and these messengers or these guests concerning having a child? Did Sarah laugh, or did she cry and slap her face? These are multiple contradictions. No one can understand the Quran because the information is not there, and no one can give a solid explanation to such contradictions all over the Quran. That's why in our next broadcast, we'll be looking at what really took place in the Genesis account to see how can Muslims believe the Quran to be the perfect, clear, easy understanding Arabic word of Allah, when in reality, as we have seen, this is simply a counterfeit to the Bible filled with contradictions and nonsensical material. For the opposite is true. As we will be examining the true word of God in the Bible, we will discover it to be clear and easy to understand. Anyone who reads the Bible will immediately, without any doubt, will believe and understand what really took place concerning not only what took place in the life of Abraham, but even the rest of the biblical accounts. And until we meet again to continue in our study of commentaries on the Quran, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.